life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.
Thanks for listening. I'm Brian Smith, the man with the button marked Do Not Push on his head, and this is episode 10 of Dynamite in the Brain, the podcast that loves anime and hates fun. Tonight I am joined by the maid-hating DEFCON2.co.uk scribe, Anthony Askew.
Hello.
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 It's been a long time since we actually recorded, and even
it
long
has.
Time without a guest, so we actually have to say something.
I know, we can't just sit and hope somebody else speaks.
I know, it's terrible. So this episode, I forgot to mention last time, that I had given Anthony the task, as he originally wanted, for me to give him a show to watch each time we record it.
And it's a mammoth task.
It's come back to haunt him this time as I asked him to watch the show Pougarou, which was from, I believe, 2004. Let's check my dates. Yeah, 2004, it aired on Kid Station. It's based on a show, based on a four-panel comic strip by Tohiro Kono. And it's pretty true to the strip, down to barely animating.
Oh, well, that's a positive to take from it, I suppose.
So what did you think of the show, then?
Well, I watched this about a week and a half ago now, because we had a bit of a delay recording the episode, as you well know. And I was hoping to kind of totally erase this from my memory once this episode's complete, because I can't take a great deal of positive comments from it, to be honest. I don't know where to begin, how much I hate it. And that's honest. I detest it.
So what did you like about it?
For a start, just the characters, everybody, honestly, I might as well list the things I hate. The intro. Don't like the intro. It's all very cutesy and the song. What's the song sound like again? Basically, as far as I remember, it repeats the words Pugiru over again.
It's just a nonsense word.
Well, apparently so, yeah. And so every time I heard that, it rang in my ears, just made me blood boil, basically. And I've got to point out that it's 3 minutes an episode.
Yes.
And it feels...
So it's pretty good longer. Going to anger you.
Yeah, honestly, I'm so shocked how angry it made me. I mean, did you read the manga before watching the show?
No, I watched the show first.
But you've read the manga?
I've read some of the manga, yeah, since.
Oh, God, I can't believe you put yourself through that. Because what's it like in comparison?
It's pretty much exactly the same. Oh. It might be drawn slightly better.
Right, well, which isn't hard, because if I'd have come across this on YouTube, I'd have thought it was just a fan-made product. Because I don't particularly like the animation of it at all. I don't know what your thoughts are on the animation.
Oh, the animation was a lot worse than I remembered. I just remembered the jokes. Because I don't think I've really watched this since either 2004, 2005.
Right. Well, your taste must have matured since then, I hope.
I still liked the jokes in it, though. And it's very absurd, but it doesn't have...
Extremely, yeah.
Yeah, it's not... doesn't have, like, the intelligence of a gag manga, Biori. It's just absurd. There's no real point. But to put it into context... It was coming off the back of what was probably, I don't know, 3 to 5 years of constant, well, what seemed like near constant maid fetishism in anime. And so this is the comic came out in 2001, which probably made it even more sort of topical when it came out then, in terms of sort of, it kind of takes the mick of the maid fetishism.
Yeah, I can see that, yeah.
Particularly in the two Yakuza characters who show up, who always want to get any maid's autograph that they see. Of course, and we should point out, so go through the character. What didn't you like about the main character who never gets a name in the entire show?
Well, in all fairness, she had some of the best gags surrounding her, to be honest. So if I was to take anything from it, I'd say she is the anchor point for me.
Well, yeah, her job is basically to react to everything going on in the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, I mean, other than that, I think she's all right. She's average. We'll say that much. Nothing more, nothing less.
Okay, and next up is the second character.
Chico-chan.
The maid of the show, Chico-chan. Describe Chico-chan to the listeners.
Well, picture perhaps a slice of bread with a head. It's some obscene... Well, actually, no. Obviously, a few of you out there have watched Ponyo at some point. It's kind of like a Ponyo organism.
Organism is kind of the right word, because that is a running joke in the show, is that they can't quite work out what she is. And at one point, they find a natural history book, and apparently maid is some sort of genus of organism rather than actually a career. And she comes from the maid country, which is apparently some place where, and also another character at a later point mentions that she wasn't born, she was grown.
One of the reasons I may have hated it is because Gag Manga Biori was so good, and I loved that, I really did really like that, and to go from that to this...
Yeah, whereas I went the other direction, because...
Oh, God, right.
This is obviously animated in Flash, like Gag Manga Biori, and I think it came around... I'm not sure if it's the same year or sort of around just before... There's two sort of big events in terms of Flash animation in Japan, which is hard to find much English information about. One is the show, I think it's Flash anyway, it might be CG animation, but it's sort of along these same lines, was The World of Golden Eggs, which aired on MTV and outsold pretty much any traditional anime when it came out on DVD. And... there's clips of that on YouTube. You can look it up. I've not watched enough of it, but
is it better than this?
It's very crudely animated and has lots of gags. So it's kind of pretends to be like an English teaching show, if I remember correctly. If you remember the K-On! Video that I played where they're all flat and spin around.
Yeah,
that's sort of a mashup of K-On! And the World of Golden Eggs visual style.
I see.
And the other thing is the advent of this Flash animator called Frogman, who's since done... He had his own web series, but then he's also done, like, Pew to Fuku Jaguar. He did the anime adaptation of that, and that was Flash, and very crudely animated compared to the sort of things Gag Manga Biori was doing. But again, very popular, and he was getting sort of... made a name for himself by being the person who did online Flash animation in Japan.
Yeah.
So this was coming around the same time. And the guys who made this only seem to have done one other show, which was another Flash animated show called, I think, Digirl Pop or Digipop Girl. Can't quite remember which way around it goes, in 2007. And apart from that, I have no idea what else they did.
See, there's one thing I noticed. Obviously, you say it's Flash and stuff, but I don't think it did anything clever with the fact of it being Flash.
No, it's pretty much they've taken a panel out the comic and done a minimal amount of animation around it, or perhaps slapped in a background, because I don't think there's any real background drawings. It's very in the comic. I think it's very much sort of your focus is pulled onto the characters. It kind of reminds you of, particularly in the anime, not so much in the manga, but the anime definitely kind of reminds you of those how to draw manga books.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean, yeah.
That they're kind of drawn in a way that people might expect manga to be drawn, or anime to be drawn, but not quite right, because they've done it in Flash fairly cheaply. Yeah, so they're basically taken, I mean, literally the ending credits, or even more literally taken from the manga in terms of they'd like normally run another gag through the credits each time where there's even less animation going on. Often the only animation is sort of the transitions rather than the actual characters.
And at times I just, which is maybe a bit unfair to do, but I just skip the end.
some of the best jokes are in the end ones.
Oh, well, like I did watch the first couple right through and then I was kind of just wishing it would hurry up.
You missed out the nurse using the using Chico as a vomit bucket.
Oh, no, I did see that, yeah. I did see that one. That's a half-decent episode, actually. Credit where credit's due.
Okay, so what did you like about Chico? We haven't really got down to that.
Oh, no.
We described how odd she is.
There's just something extremely... Well, see, I didn't know there was going to be this constant set of characters throughout the series. So the first episode, it's kind of obviously introduced her, and I thought, all right, fair enough. Let's hope I don't really see her again. And then when it turned out the series was her, like, she's part of it, a big part, it just, awful. But no, there's just something... I want to like her because I think she's amusing to look at. And I don't know, I can't pinpoint it. A voice, but that's a bit unfair.
She barely speaks. Voice. Yeah,
but she makes noises.
Yeah. And her head falls off frequently. There was a toy of her. There was a toy of her, like a plush toy, which was her head was attached to the body with Velcro, so you could actually remove her head.
See, I shouldn't be laughing at this because laughter suggests it's quite funny, but it just didn't tickle my funny bone.
Obviously, yeah, comedy is down. There's nothing going for it in a visual style, so it is literally down to whether or not you find the gags funny. Yeah. And I find enough of the gags funny for a 3-minute show. There's a couple of episodes which don't really do anything for me. But in general, yeah, I tend to find at least a couple of things to chuckle at in each episode.
Well, I was sat frowning with my arms folded.
Right, let's go through the next character. Missouri the Snow Woman. She's like a snow demon spirit thing.
Mm-hmm. So, see, I think the ingredients for a lot of the characters can make for clever gags and amusing jokes, but I'd... don't think they get utilised well enough. I don't know. As you say, she's a snow woman who has an extremely... I thought it was somewhat like a bow in her hair or a pin in her hair or something, and it turns out to be an eye.
Yes.
She has this huge... It is an eye, isn't it? Like a googly eye.
I think so, yeah.
And she's edible. I thought I'd make... In fact, a lot of the characters are edible, apparently.
Yes.
So. And, yeah, she's... What do you think of her, Missouri, or whatever she...
She's kind of a one-note character. I don't think any of the episodes she's in that I've particularly noticed.
Oh, important feature. She has extremely large breasts.
Right.
That's an important feature, the aesthetic of her character.
Yeah, it kind of gets used once in one joke, and then, the fact that she gets eaten in her first appearance is quite amusing, but I'm not sure I've noted anything particularly amusing about her after that. There's funnier snow women, because there's one in Yusai Tsura, and there's one in Dororon Enmakun at the moment, those Yuki Onna demons that she is. Next up is Nachiko, who is a squid wearing a mask.
She's quite an amusing character, I'll give her that. I didn't know what to make of it at first, I thought it was just being random... For random sake, which is a lot of it, but...
It is kind of... Well, there is a connection as to why she's there, and the connection is extremely tenuous. Is that she's there because she has... A squid has frills on it the same way a maid does. And that seems to be literally the only reason why she's in there. And I noticed on Wikipedia that it says apparently it seems the author got tired of drawing her. That's not very good Wikipedia-ing, because obviously that's no citation.
No, not at all. Unless it is the author that's...
Entirely opinion. But, apparently she doesn't appear in some of the later volumes of the manga.
And now, my least favourite character of the show, Kanato is her name. It is a she. I wasn't quite sure at first. Oh, you like her?
I quite like that character, yes. She's kind of a throwback to an 80s type of schoolgirl character in sort of being the thug The Unbridled Thug, yes. There's even like the episode where she's doing the sort of woodwork class.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Where she's teaching them how to make nail bats and then nail gloves and then nail baseballs.
And I does she kill the class at this point?
She has to temper the bat, you see.
That's
she
right, doesn't, yeah.
Beating the class up with it.
Mm. The class, I think, obviously we'll regard it as one character, I think, the class. I love the class. Some of the facial expressions they have, because basically they're kind of like a silhouette with a circle for a mouth.
They are pretty much just literally facial expressions.
But I think they play a big part. And that says a lot about the show, I think. Yeah, but I can see what each character does, it like how they play a part and what they're kind of like a little ode to somewhat, but doesn't do it for me. The nurse, what do you think of the nurse?
That joke's done better in a show called Let's Nupu Nupu.
Right.
Yeah, she's like a sexual harassment. Is that her gag?
Mm-hmm.
Is that she's sexually harassing her students? But yeah, that joke's done better in Let's Nupu Nupu, which is sort of a similar sort of shorts series, but it's more like what you're expecting this to be, in that it's sort of different characters. It's more like a sketch show.
Right.
So there'd be sort of like I think it had three different directors, so it was like three different sketches each episode.
Oh, right, yeah.
So there's one where, I think one is, one's this strange, I think it's a cat-like creature. The other's the sexual harassing nurse. I think she's a nurse or a teacher. It's basically the same joke as the one episode this nurse shows up in this. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is a hamster. Who's always afraid he's going to die. I'll have to go back and watch it again. I might make you watch that at some point.
All right, sounds good. Sounds better than this, so I begin. And I'm actually on this Wikipedia page at the moment to see the list of characters because I don't know the names. So who next?
I think there's only two more characters left, which are Anarchy and Sabu.
And potentially these are the best characters just because not even just because, I don't even know why, they somewhat make me smirk slightly.
It's the most obvious, it relies least on total absurdity,
yeah.
And it's more sort of a juxtaposition of they're two Yakuza who, when we first meet them, are actually involved in some sort of gunfight. And they get distracted by the shared love of maids. And they're sort of very nervous. They want to ask for Chico for her autograph and end up having a water pistol fight with her instead of using real guns.
Mm.
And they crop up from time to time, usually.
Thankfully, they do.
See the maids.
Because, well, I was watching this, I messaged Brian saying, I really hate this. And he says, what, even the Yakuza water pistol fight? Even the Yakuza water pistol fight. No, I don't hear that as much. But, these are quite amusing, the way they're kind of totally in love with this maid kind of culture or whatever you'd call it. And just they have like tears rolling down the cheeks and stuff and... Quite amazing. Yeah,
that's my second favourite joke in the show. My favourite recurring joke is sort of the gags about Chico's physiology and how it doesn't behave according to how people expect it to. So in one, I think, is it Kaneko asks to hug her at one point, and then Chico's version of hugging is to produce these sort of sucker tendrils, attaches to Kaneko's body. And then the very last episode, they try and get to the bottom of what Chico is and end up with more questions than they started. Like, they discover her skeleton's in back to front. She's 7% fruit juice.
I'm sure there's something totally crazy that she's part... 3% black ink.
Yes, that's it as well, yeah.
And she's presently in a larva state as well, so she's not fully grown, is that what you meant?
That's one of their theories, yes. And then they do another x-ray of her, and she's got a completely different skeleton inside her again.
Oh, yes, I did laugh at that, actually. Oh, God. So, who's left? What was your favourite episode?
My favourite episode is the one, I think it's episode 10, the one where Chica's got a button on the back of her head, which does three different things. Well, first of all, it's green, and that's fine to press. It's orange, and that's fine to press. And then it's red with a sign which says, do not press. And then, of course, someone presses it to seemingly no effect, but there is a comical effect elsewhere in the world.
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil the hilarious joke for those people who want to ignore Anthony and actually watch the show.
See, it's weird because you mentioned some of the scenes in the show, and I'm kind of... There's a part of me deep down that has a slight fondness of it.
So do you think it's just... So do you think it might just be the very poor execution? Because let's not beat around the bush. It looks horrible.
Oh, it looks disgusting. As I say, I wouldn't be surprised if it was someone's university project or something. And even they would get a fail mark, I think, if they handed this. No, it's not that bad. But no, I thought it was maybe a fan-made thing. Or first appearance, at least, anyway. Not that I'm a seasoned animator pro, but you know.
Yeah, but there's definitely... You can probably find better things on Nico Video nowadays than actually in the show, fan-made rather than this. So things have come along a long way in terms of flash animation in anime. And I think it was always dragging its heels a little bit. I think even in some of the early Gagamanga Bioras, if you compare the first series to the later series, they've come a long way. But these guys, I'm not sure they really did come a long way, because I checked out some of their second series and... It's not very good either, and it doesn't have the advantage of being having its jokes taken from somewhere else. They've kind of come up with their own stuff.
Oh, right.
No, it kind of looks like someone's taken sort of, I don't know, sort of like paper dolls. Their joints are very sort of swingy at the points.
Right.
Rather than actually moving like proper joints.
But they don't do it in a good way.
No, it looks, it's not... Not great, and I can see why their credits aren't... They're not credited on the main news network.
Oh, poor guys. I feel bad for just this now.
Even the website seems to have disappeared for...
God. They couldn't afford to pay the host in...
I mean, for this show, for their other show, for their...
Oh, goodness.
Their production company.
It's like they've never kind existed.
Of, yeah, been wiped off the internet.
Alan Smithy was behind this. But I've just glanced down at my notes, and there's one joke that really did actually quite really tickle me. And they're mentioning, I think they must be in school or something, and they're mentioning what careers they'd want to do and stuff.
Yes.
And Chico, obviously a maid, comments that she'd like to be a sumo wrestler.
That is correct.
And that's as good as it gets, really. Oh, God.
Well, yeah. If you want to check it out for yourself, they are only 3 minutes long, and I think someone's uploaded them all to.
Yeah, they're all on. Yeah, pretty much on one channel as well, so it is easy access. Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, I think if it was out nowadays, apart from the fact that it's on Kids Station, which don't seem to be doing anything through the usual streaming channels. If it wasn't on Kids Station, it probably would be streaming somewhere on Crunchyroll or probably Crunchyroll. But as it is was on Kids Station, as it was from 2004, and as it looks like ass, if somebody else commented on Twitter, I don't see anyone officially licensing it anytime soon. So yeah, YouTube's probably your best chance of checking it out. If you want to ignore Anthony's warning.
I think you should go and watch it and then watch Gagmanga Biori, and you'll just kind of...
Yeah, I think if you do it in that direction, then yeah, you'll probably even get more out of Gagmanga Biori, and you'll be like, yeah, this is how it's done. This is how it should be done. I mean, definitely. That's the thing which annoyed me about what little I've seen of Pew, Tofuku, Jaguar, the OAVs they did of that, because Akitara Daiichi adapted the same creator's Sexy Commando in sort of the late 90s. And he did Gagamanga Biori. I was like, when Jaguar comes to anime, I want him to be directing it, not Frogman. But turned out it was Frogman. So.
Oh, poor Frogman.
I mean, I'd say he's still better than this in terms of having his own unique style. But yeah, he's still not super great in terms of animation direction. Mm. Right, I think that's enough of Pugaroo.
Yeah,
anything else you want to chat about?
Tear my note up and destroy it from my memory. Yeah, go on. What have you been watching at the moment? I know you're fond of a few things.
Yeah, I've got a few things. I've been watching Dororon Enmakun. Mirror Mirror, to distinguish it from the 70s version. I think we're up to episode 7 of this now. I did a big post on Awesome Engine about sort of the tension between sort of modernity and the past and sort of how it sort of manifests in this show and within the people watching the show. But I didn't really talk about actually what I thought of the show. The first three episodes are really, really good. They're kind of adaptations of the comic, but with modern sensibilities and sort of toning down of stuff they couldn't get away with on, well, they couldn't get away with it on TV in the 70s, and they still can't get away with it on TV now, though they could get away with it in a kid's comic in the 70s. But then it kind of feels almost, a different director takes over on the next three episodes, I think, and while I still enjoy it, it does get a bit gropey, let's just say. There's a few too many jokes about groping, which aren't even in the comic. And I've seen people blaming, saying, oh, I don't like this because it's a Go Nagai show. Well, a lot of the things you don't like about the show aren't actually from the comic. They've been added in because, well, they've got to fill up time for a start.
Right.
And also, some of the things in the comic they can't get over on TV, so they've got to kind of put other jokes into the show. But then it picks up. It kind of felt a bit like it might have been treading water, but with episode 7, they kind of sort of pace out the reveals fast enough that you're not thinking, oh, where is this show going? And it's firmly away from the manga at this point, because they've got the character of NB-chan, or NP-chan, depending on how it's been translated, who's a character from like a parody of the show and of the comic from about 2000. So she had nothing to do with the original story, and now it's sort of drifted fairly far away. So I'm interested to see where they go now. I think it's only 12 episodes, so it should be over and done with quite quickly.
I've only seen the first one, actually, and just not because I haven't watched any more because I dislike it or anything. I just haven't got the chance, but after reading your article about the kind of modern versus the traditional side of it all, people seem to be whinging about, I don't know, just they can't even make their minds up what they're whinging about, in a sense. Like, I think it looks really good, and people are whinging. Some people say it looks too, what was it?
Too old, my favourite one was, and someone was complaining about the animation, and they said it was good animation, but not the sort of animation they liked, basically. But I should say that's kind of I did quote loads of sort of negative opinions.
Yeah.
And I didn't really say, because it would have interfered with my point, but I should say that there's plenty, you can find a lot more positive opinions than you can negative. Partly because it's not being officially streamed, so you haven't got those sort of casual viewers suddenly going in on the first episode and going, ugh, what is this? Why does it look so old? Like Space Adventure Cobra might have got on their Crunchyroll. So you tends to have been Pete at this point. It's episode 7. It's kind of wheedled out anybody who had particularly negative opinions on it. But
I personally really like the visual style, if I'm honest. I think it's its own style.
A lot of the Brainspace have done a number of these Go Nagai updates, and I'd say it's probably the slickest looking one so far.
Right.
In terms of design and sort of adhering to a general design across all the episodes.
Yeah.
What else have I been watching? I've watched, the other thing I'm more caught up on is Azazel Sam, which I'm writing a post also about sort of, things ancient and modern about it. This one has some absolutely awesome animation, and it's really, really funny.
Not Pugiru funny, I hope.
I'd say the jokes are delivered a lot better than Pugiru, and they're a bit more near the knuckle in terms of gags. So it's, I think we mentioned it before, it's about a detective agency who don't really do any detecting. they're called a detective agency in name only. People come and hire them for the services of the demons that they've summoned. So you've got Azazel, who's a lust, a goat demon who sort of controls people's lust. Lord Beelzebub, who's a fly demon, who, I think his powers are divulgence, which either makes people reveal their innermost secrets or empty their bowels, one or the other. Because he's the Lord of the Flies, you see, so.
Ah, I see.
He's obsessed with fecal matter.
He also looks like a
penguin with fly wings in his summoned form, which I'm sure is a goof on sort of, I don't know if ancient or medieval beasteries, because I'm sure they've brought something up like that on QI in one of the gags about sort of how they got things wrong with sort of getting things in the wrong genuses or not being able to count how many legs a fly has or something. I'm sure it's a good for that, but because the references are incredibly specific in terms of sort of occultism.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as specific as you can get in terms of occultism, because occultism is a load of nonsense people have come up with over centuries. I was, for the post I'm writing, I was reading some Satanism pages, and you think, Jesus Christ.
Do you not feel swayed at all to join the dark side?
Because I think Azazel himself is, the name comes from like some sort of mistranslation, or at least the scapegoat part of it. Because he's also a representation of the scapegoat, and that plays through in the show as well, because he's normally the one who gets beaten up the most by the demon summoner, and gets beheaded and all sorts of things happening to him.
Right.
But yeah, it's just like these Satanists, it's like, how can you say this is like your special made-up religion, when it's quite clearly, I mean, ancient religions are made up, but they're less clearly made up as than ones you've come up with recently. Particularly when you're sort of mishmashing various religions together and saying, oh yeah, that guy's the same guy as that guy. Because you see people sort of equating Pan with Azazel, and the show does it as well in terms of, because Azazel has nothing to do with lust, but obviously Pan, as another goat demon, does have something to do with lust. And so that's where they've equated to it in the show. And then you actually see real life people wandering in the streets doing the same. In their strange sort of satans of religions. It's like, what the hell? What the hell, people? Anyway, this doesn't have a very good opinion of religion or people in general. Yeah, as bad as the demons come off, the angel who shows up in, I think, episodes 5 and 6 comes off even worse. He's sort of like this misanthropic nerd who's sort of, his self-monologue, in a monologue, is constantly deriding mankind. But then when he's actually confronted by mankind, he sort of stutters and says nothing bad to them.
Now, I haven't watched any of this yet. I haven't got around to it.
Oh, you should get to it. I think you should definitely get around to that. And that one's only 15 minutes episode.
So. Oh, right.
Again, it's not being streamed anywhere, so you fan subs your only bet. But, I mean, of the two, I'd say Azazel San's my favourite of the two. And if it came out on DVD, I'd definitely buy it, because the animation is very high standard. Some really, not some action, but sort of acting animation. Because even in episode 6, there was a scene of one of the characters just waiting outside a toilet door. And that was very well animated. Best waiting outside of a toilet door animation I've ever seen.
And I'm sure you've seen a lot, so.
Yes. I'll take every start on hat animation. We should do that one as an episode sometime. This reputation of somebody complaining. What was it? Night Raid, I think that was the show. And I didn't like it because I didn't like the way the hats were animated.
Well, surely they just remain stationary on a head.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, there's one thing drawing a hat on a head, and there's another thing drawing a hat, which makes it look like it's really being worn by the character.
Right, okay.
Because sometimes it does just look like some people are balancing hats on their heads, rather than they're actually firmly stuck on their head.
Oh, God.
Which is fair, but none of these people are wearing hipster fedoras, which in real life do look like they're being balanced on people's heads.
Oh, don't diss hats. Not that I'm a hat guy myself, you know, but...
I'm perfectly fine with hats, yes, but that's why I like hats, that's why I like to see them well animated.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What is your hat of choice?
My hat of choice? I've got a one-piece beanie, I've got a nice furry hat for the winter as well, a furry cap.
Oh, good. Well prepared for the...
all weathers.
Yeah, to all weathers, yeah. But now I need to check them out. But what have I been watching? I've been watching far too much at the moment, but thankfully, I'm unemployed, so I have the time to do it. One thing I started watching and I thought, oh, this is going to be really good, was X-Men. And
yes.
I'm not up to date with it 100%. I'm a few episodes behind, but I think it's really lost its charm. I don't know if you've been up to watching any.
I've not really watched a single. I've kind of skimmed through every episode, but not actually watched any episode.
That's a bit unfair, isn't it? Just to skim.
I've only looked like just seeing, oh, what are they doing with this show? Because I kind of want. I've not watched any of the Iron Man or the Wolverine. I'd kind of quite like to see them on TV dubbed into English at some point.
Right.
Watch fan subs now. But I'm curious just in animation terms and what characters they're using. And the animation looks great all the way through.
Yeah, it does look good.
What's the problem with it?
I'm trying to think what episode I'm on to kind of give an idea of what's kind of not happened. Obviously, introduce everything fine, you know what's going to go on, but it's just really boring. It's just, there seems to be a lot of talking, which is all well and good, but I'm not wanting, like, tons of action, but what action there's been in some later episodes, I don't find that entertaining or interesting to watch. And there was a point where Wolverine was fighting someone on a plane, and I couldn't make out what was going on.
Nah.
And I
saw they introduced a character who's basically Japanese Moira MacTaggert.
Who's that?
Japanese redheaded scientist who shows up, or teacher who shows up in like the last couple of episodes.
Oh.
Who basically just seems to be Moira MacTaggert, the proper X-Men character, stuck even down to just having red hair as well. She looks like she'd be Scottish as well, even though she's Japanese. but yeah, I've not really been following the story. I've just been sort of flicking through to see where they were going. And yeah, they don't seem to be going anywhere particularly fast.
Nah. And I mean, it's only going to be, what, 13 episodes long, or 12, perhaps?
12, I think.
Unless it suddenly has a blast of energy and something. Because, I mean, I think we've mentioned it before, but in the closing credits, you see a lot of characters who...
Yeah, I don't think they're going to show up.
I think we're
getting is Sublime and the U-Men. We may not even get Sublime named and the Hellfire Club.
I would just like to see Magneto. I'd just like to see him would be enough, because he... From like the art style and the closing credits, he looks pretty badass, obviously. But it's typical that. It's really typical. But nah, I'll watch it, but I don't think I'll be holding this one too highly compared to what else I've been watching, which is what I've totally fell in love with, Toriko.
Aha.
Love this.
Yeah, that I haven't been keeping up with.
I can't help it. I've got to see it every week on the date of release. I download it.
Oh, good, good. It's quite different from... Well, it's got a few differences from the comic, and that kind of put me off once it got started properly.
Right.
Plus, I've got other things I could be watching, so...
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I hear people are enjoying it a lot.
Oh, I could literally... I was saying to someone on Twitter, I could literally just queue them up and watch a load of episodes straight off the belt. But that would require me to take a few weeks off it, and I don't want to do that, because I think it's that good and so much fun. And I love the characters. I think it looks really pretty as well. I think it looks great.
Oh, we'll have to check that out again then.
No, I'd definitely watch that. Highly recommend that. What else? Tiger and Bunny.
I'm up to, I think, episode 4 on that.
I've watched six. And it has a few slow episodes, obviously character development and stuff, some of the other heroes. But now I think it knows where it's going now, which I'm pleased. Which is what I was starting to worry about a little bit.
I think it does superheroes better props than X-Men does.
Yeah, it does.
Understanding what superheroes are, what they do. Because I quite liked, what was I thinking? It's gone now. I've lost my train of thought. But, I think sort of it was the episode 4 where I can't remember her name, the one who's sponsored by Pepsi.
the ice girl. Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of having to choose between her music career and being a superhero and sort of they give the motive and also the motive. Oh, it was, is it Captain Legend or Mr. Legend? The guy who inspired Tiger to become a superhero.
Yes, I think it is. Is it Captain or Mister? It's certainly Legend along those lines. Yeah.
Yeah, I quite liked his design because it was very sort of
classical.
Yeah, it was kind of Watchmen-y as well. It was in terms of sort of overweight superhero in sort of slightly archaic costume.
But no, I do really like this, and I was kind of starting to worry that it wasn't going to go very. Anyway, but now it appears that we do have a bad guy.
There's a guy in the credits who I assumed was going to be the bad guy.
Yeah, it appears. Not a great deal has been mentioned, but at least now we know, which is good.
But yeah, I do like the sort of the meshing of the 3D CG and the straight up animation. I think the way they've designed the characters makes it work quite well, where you've got the CG armor. And then just the traditionally animated face.
Underneath it, yeah.
Yeah.
It looks good. It looks good.
And what else did I like about it that caught my eye? The way everything's, rather than a black line, they use like a red, sort of a dark red line, don't they, to draw everything in the show.
Oh, right. I didn't notice that. See, you've got the eye for these things. You've got the eye.
That's the thing which struck me as being quite interesting about
it. I'll have to pick up on that.
I'm not sure quite why that works quite so well, but... I mean, obviously, if you're not noticing, that also means it's working well.
Yes, exactly. Exactly, that's good. What else? I started watching a lot of the other shows, but I haven't had the chance to really delve and just rinse through them, to be honest.
Right, what else have I been watching? I've been watching a show from 2008 called Sundays, Dreamers, Summer Skies.
Oh, nice.
Which is a show which is a sequel to another Sundays, Dreamers series, but... only sort of sequel in terms of it's actually set in the same universe. There's no sort of continuation of characters or even style. It's by, the show's by Osamu Kobayashi, the guy who did Beck and Paradise Kiss and the vomit episode of Panty and Stocking would be the last thing I think he's done recently. And it's very much in his style. It's sort of very... the backgrounds are very photorealistic to the point where you kind of suspect they're just photos touched up slightly. But the characters are very cartoony in sort of very round heads and, sort of spheres and orbs, traditional animation design. And the animation is really good. And it's very much, if you watch Beck or Paradise Kiss, you kind of get the stuff that he's interested in, and that's all there as well. So it's about Mage's 16-year-old. Kids who are 16 who have magic powers, and at 16 they have to go and learn how to use them and become government employees, and they have like a tutor who they have to go and live with, so basically like a wizard and apprentice but sort of set in modern Japan, and they have to do these sort of odd jobs that people hire them from the government to do. So
is the kind of what's it, like the public aware the wizards and magic exists?
Yes, they are. Yeah. Right. They're sort of like bureaucrats and sort of the things they do. So somebody wants somebody to find them. He calls one of the students in with their teacher to find his lost credit card in his flat. But basically all he wants them to do is to tidy his flat up.
Ah, I see.
And so there's not much, there's magic, but you don't tend to get to see it very often. And when it does happen, it's not much spectacular. There's only really been one spectacular spell so far, and about halfway through this, and that's in the very first episode, where the heroine stops a crashing truck from hitting an old lady. But in general, often they might not even show what the magic on screen. They might just go into where it's about to happen and then show you the
action. Right.
And it's quite good. And the other thing I like about it is it kind of avoids what you might expect of sort of exposition telling you how the world's set up. Because at one point, a character starts to do the exposition about the world, but then your point of view character starts daydreaming about something else. And then you sort of go in at the start of the exposition, and she comes out of the daydream at the end. You, as a viewer, you don't get any of the exposition at all. You just sort of get the character development about the character instead. But yeah, I'd recommend it. It's a show which was really slept on. The first series did get licensed, the second one didn't. And
oh, nice.
I think even people who like Kobayashi kind of forgot to watch this show. Perhaps because they thought it was like the first series and it wouldn't be something they're interested in. But
Right.
If you like Beck or Paradise Kiss, I'd give it a go because it's got, it's the teacher's an old aging punk. Another one of the students is into sort of English New Wave from the 80s. So it's all the sorts of things he likes and great sense of place because he's actually gone, he's set in real locations in Japan.
Right. Sounds interesting.
What else did I watch? First episode of Adventures of Gamba, which is a 70s show about a mouse. and his mouse friends who go on a mission to defeat a weasel.
Oh, that sounds fun.
That's showed up on the, it's one of these R fan subs, the AAR, where they just seem to be fan subbing, or you don't even know if they are fan subbing, they might just be taking them off Hong Kong bootlegs of 70s and 80s obscure anime, and that was one of the ones that probably ended the first episode, as they always tend to only do the first episode, or if not the first episode, a random episode. But yeah, that's definitely worth checking out. And if you look up what the weasel looks like, I might put a picture of the weasel in the show notes, because, by God, it's a scary weasel.
Really? It is? Oh, right.
It's not real nightmare fuel, this weasel is. I kind of want to see the rest of the show now. Cause,
what's it called, this weasel? I'll just weasel Gamba, I'll put in.
Yeah, that might get you it.
So I've got to see this.
Yeah, it's like Godzilla-shaped. Because there's like toys of him as well, which look like which kind of like Godzilla vinyls.
Did you say it was Gamba? G A M B A.
It might be G A M B A or it might be G A N B A. I've seen it done as both.
Okay. I can't seem to find it, but I've been watching Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood at the moment.
Uh huh.
Which is I did originally watch the original anime, like well some of the original anime. And this is just so much better. It's so much more condensed down. And it's just a joy to watch. I love it. I can't stress how much I love this. I totally love it. And I can't believe I've never watched it earlier. Because I've been quite a big fan of the like Full Metal Alchemist anyway. I should have delved into this straight away. Have you seen any of it or not?
I haven't. That's a lie. I've seen the first episode because that was at the anime all night last year.
Right.
I'm planning on picking up the DVDs perhaps at Iacon.
Are the DVDs out?
Yes.
Oh, I did not know that. Right. I've just been linked the, oh goodness gracious. That is awful. In the best way possible. And this is a kid's show.
Yes.
Jesus Christ. That is scary, and I'm not just saying that. That is genuinely scary. Goodness gracious. Go on.
He's three times the size as a normal weasel, as some of those pictures illustrate, because there's other weasels in front of him to give you some sort of sense of scale. But yeah, that's kind of, there's other pictures where he looks like Godzilla, basically.
Yeah. But did you say the subgroup's only doing one episode of this?
Yeah, most likely.
Ah, that's such a shame. Because just for the weasel alone, goodness.
He doesn't show up in the first episode. He shows up in the credits.
Good.
But he only gets mentioned, I think, as...
scary enough to get a mention of this beast. Well, it kind of looks like... What else I've been watching, it kind of looks like something you'd see in Fist of North Star, like the same kind of liney drawn.
Yeah.
There's probably a technical term for that, but I don't know it. But I've been watching Fist of North Star as well.
Uh-huh. It's quite a contrast with the heroes of the show, who are kind of more cartoony mice.
Right. But I do love Fist of North Star as well. Who can't? I mean, there's no reason to dislike. Or do you dislike it?
Oh, no, I like Fist of North Star.
Good. But nah, it's good fun as well. Good fun. Everything I want from a show. Fist of North Star, a badass in action. In blood. What more could you ask for? God, this weasel is damn scary. And I can see the mice now. The mice look really cute. I feel sorry.
Yeah, they're very cartoony, the mice. Mm. It's a very good show from what I've seen in the first episode, in terms of animation and sort of atmosphere and just everything about it. Right. Yeah, I kind of do want to see it at some point, the rest of it.
It's a shame these kind of shows remain well, under the carpet until someone dubs them, really.
I mean, they're streaming some of the Matsumoto science fiction stuff from late 70s, early 80s on Crunchyroll, but unfortunately it's not licensed for the UK, so we can't actually watch it.
Oh, God. Is there not a way around that, like somehow changing your...
I don't know if Crunchyroll. I think they're pretty good at avoiding that.
Oh, right, okay.
They don't seem to avoid people ripping their content off the site, but they seem to be pretty good at maintaining a sort of like... nationality, region blocking. That's what I was worried about.
Isn't there that site at the moment that you pay like a monthly fee to stream?
Oh, anime on demand.
Yeah, well, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, they stream them from free as well. You just get better quality if you pay. They look okay. The free streams look okay on my TV.
Sure, you don't see a point in.
At the distance I'm sitting at from the TV, so I don't have too much problems with them.
Mm. I thought it was subscription only, actually. So that's good news to hear otherwise. All right.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's High Def is subscription, and maybe you get the shows a week earlier. But as I say, I'm only watching Tiger and Bunny on there, so I'm behind on that anyway. So
it doesn't really matter.
What else have I got? Stuff I've been watching in terms of. Anime.
Have you been watching C? What is it? The Money of Possibility?
Oh, yeah, that's on there as well. Yeah, I only watched the first episode of that.
I've watched a couple of that. It seems good. But I think it's not too early to say that I like it, but I really need to kind of sit down and watch that. Because it seems really different. It seems quite original.
I went to see the Japanese pro wrestling Noah, but we'll probably talk about that when we have Gary on again, which hopefully should be shortly.
Because he was there, wasn't he?
He was there with me, so
I didn't get an invite.
Well, there's a Dragon Gate show in October in Nottingham and Broxbourne, if you want to travel down for that.
Yeah, it would be interesting, actually. I'll tell you what, if I'm working, I'll see my busy schedule.
Yeah, the Nottingham one's got 700 capacity, so...
Oh, I'd have to get us something soon. Cause, I mean, I presume it sells out.
There's normally sort of the cheaper tickets tend to still be there. As well as online fans, they're also selling to local fans as well.
Oh, right.
Because I think last time they did Dragon Gate in Broxbourne, which is in Hertfordshire, they didn't sell out because they didn't do a very good job of local promotion. So they sold tickets to everybody who...
The real fans, kind of thing.
Yeah, who wanted to travel, but they didn't fill up with the people who were local. Whereas the St. Ives show, which was the same weekend, which was the one I went to, that was full. That's because they did a better job of promotion, which was true, because I got there early and walked around town looking for something, a bite to eat beforehand, and they'd got lots of posters up in local shops and stuff. So,
were you near the front at all, or were neither ring?
For Pro Wrestling Network, yeah, we were fourth row back on the hard camera side, which was tiered seating, so we had a very good view.
Nice.
If the wrestlers are sort of playing towards the camera, as they tended to do, though some of them were very good and played towards the crowd. So there was like two kids who were sitting right up front on one side, and one of the guys who was the heel, the bad guy, being down the baby face, spotted that they were there, so he dragged the guy who was fighting all the way across the arena in front of them to beat the good guy up in front of them.
I like it.
It's nice when you've got the wrestlers there who know how to play to the crowd, even though there's like a language barrier, they still know how to do it.
Obviously you said there was cameras there. Will that be on TV somewhere?
I believe it's on Samurai TV. I saw something today. It's on Samurai TV next week, I think.
Ah, right.
Possibly, yeah, I think Samurai TV next week. So,
are you going to watch it to see if you get a camera flick, perhaps?
I shall see whether it shows up, but I think because we've got the cameras behind us, which is where the first Dragon Gate show I went to, that's where I was as well. Uh-huh. And so the best you're going to get is the back of my head.
You had 30 seconds of fame.
Because the way they got things laid out, they weren't really doing too much stuff right in front of the crowd at Noah, whereas the Dragon Gate guys tended to do so. I mean, at St. Ives, one of the matches, one of the guys ran into the crowd to hide from his opponent.
Oh, God. Ah, I'll see about that in October, actually. It would be a nice weekend out, or...
Yes, they do very good shows, and, I highly recommend. I've been to two of the Dragon Gate shows they've done, and they were excellent. A lot of good fun. What else have I seen this week? Not anime related. I noticed on Twitter we had a disagreement over the Tintin trailer.
Oh, yeah. Because I presume you like the original series, all the old stuff.
I kind of liked it as a kid. I'm not a super huge fan, but I like the look of it more than anything, and the look of it is the one thing this film hasn't really got.
Polar Express and Beowulf is anything to go off, it's obviously not great, but what's your little quote? Cold dead eyes?
Yes, and they're very careful to hide the eyes in both the posters and the trailers so far. And you're like, okay, what are they hiding?
The dead eyes. Of
what they don't you want us to see?
I will certainly be going to see this. I mean, it's early days. It could be utter dog poo, but...
Yeah, and this might sound like sacrilege, but I'm not a huge Spielberg fan either.
Fair enough. Not even old school Spielberg.
I like Jaws.
Mm-hmm. E.T.?
No, Jaws is probably is the only thing I unequivocally like of his. There's everything else, I can see stuff I like in it, but there's also always seems to be stuff I'm not so keen on.
Mm. So you can appreciate it, but you don't understand why everyone...
Yeah. It's like, what was the one with Leonardo DiCaprio as the guy who pretended to be things? Catch Me If You Can.
I've never watched that.
I liked a lot of that, but it just seemed to go on too long. It's nice. There's loads of things I liked about it, like performances and various choices in the film. Mm-hmm. Even like the animated opening, but it was like, it still felt like a slog, even though as I was watching it, I was like, yeah, I like this, but... Boy, is it still going?
I don't mind Spielberg. I don't mind him.
I went to see Attack the Block as well.
Oh, yes. I really want to see this because everyone seems to love it.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked it a lot as well. Definitely go and see that if it is in your town, which it will be in the UK, but obviously abroad, it might not be in your town straight away. You might have to look for it a bit harder.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you'll find it, though, if you...
It seemed to do pretty well over here. Oh, I finished Dead Rising, Case West.
Yeah, any good?
It's kind of, I mean, the fun of it is the fact you've got the heroes from the first two games working together, and it's kind of setting up whatever the third one will be. Mm-hmm. But the boss fight is a bit sort of, okay, they obviously had to just stick a boss fight in, because you're basically fighting, I think described on Twitter as... It's Bernard Breslau's character from Carry On Up the Khyber. Sort of this silent, thuggy fanatic stereotype suddenly appears. And you're like, what's this guy doing in this zombie game? I don't know. I don't know if there's something I'm missing because from not playing the first game, but I was kind of like... And it's a bit easy with... I imagine it's a lot harder if you've got you're playing co-op than doing it single player, actually, for some...
Is the AI pretty good, or...?
Well, it's just the fact that Frank West, who you're not controlling when you're playing single player, can't die, so you can just use him as like a human shield, basically, to get bludgeoned by the monsters.
That's easy. That's like an easy way out.
It's not totally easy. It's that sort of... But I'm sure you could make it easy once you realise that was the case with the boss. Mm-hmm. I think you could have easily... I could have easily stacked up myself with the right sort of weapons before going in.
Yeah.
And then easily taking him down. But as it was, I was still having to scurry around the room he was in looking for food to eat to keep my health up.
I didn't get into Dead Rising. I'm not big on the whole zombie thing massively.
It is a bit played out, but I like... The thing, I've not played the first one, but the second one, I like the fact that you've got these combo weapons where you're taking... I mean, the gag of the thing is that everything's a weapon. And in the second one, you've got the combo weapons where you can take items you picked up and combine them into additional weapons.
Yeah.
So in Case West, you've still got that. And So you've got new weapons, which like I can't remember what it's called, the Reaper, where you, for some reason in this facility they've got a katana lying around.
Yeah, they had a katana in the first one. That was so one good thing.
You gaffer tape the katana to the end of the Psy, and then you've got a pole bar.
See.
So things like that. And yeah, it's if you've played Dead Rising 2, I think you're likely to want to play it. I'm not sure anybody else would want to play it unless you've done that, but it was cheap. I think I got it half price when it was half price on Xbox Live.
Oh, so it's only a DLC game? Like
it is, yeah.
Oh, right, I did not know that. Right. Nice, I see.
But I think that's pretty much it.
I've been doing nothing but Street Fighter and StarCraft. Don't forget the odd job hunting. I do still job hunt.
Good, good. Oh, well, I did misread the new series, Kamen Rider Fouzi. I think that's how you pronounce it. Fouze. Because I was too far away from my screen, I got excited and read it as Kamen Rider Fonzie. I thought Henry Winkler had got a new role.
Oh, if only. If only.
Right, so yeah, we've got a few more shows with guests coming up, which hopefully will be the next ones in the bag.
Shall we see what they are, or coming up?
We're going to do I don't know which order they'll be in, but there'll be a show coming up about the Marvel Animation co-productions.
Yep.
Mainly from the 80s, but some of the, we'll probably talk about some of the later ones again, so I might try and watch a bit more of the X-Men before.
Yeah. Don't force that. Yourself too hard, though, because you might be disappointed.
And then we'll also be doing something about anime and role-playing games.
Yes, I'm really looking forward to this, and it's something that I've experienced once, and I would really like to get into again.
Well, I suspect that may take over two episodes to do, because I suspect me and John will probably yak a lot, because we've known each other for many, many years.
Mm.
So we could probably reminisce about loads of ridiculous things we've done in role playing.
We should maybe play a little scenario out.
Oh god, a bit. Okay, I'll take that on advisement. I'll make a note of that and then ignore it.
Right. But no, do you still do it or?
Occasionally, when I visit home and sort of meet up with mates there. Right. So I should probably be running D&D this weekend.
Ah, right. Something I would love to get into, but it's just effort.
Yeah, it's best to do it with people you know, I think, because
you
can get burned doing it with strangers.
Really?
Because when I went to university and joined a local role-playing game club, mm-hmm. rather than doing it with people I knew at university, and they were just the worst people, just a bunch of racist old white men.
God.
I was like, Jesus, I'm not coming back here.
Did you meet a rival club?
Eventually we just sort of it was people at university. You discovered people eventually owned up to their secret shame of being role-playing gamers. We had a club, a group for the first 2 years at university, and then came back at after our year out in industry, and then discovered that the two people whose house we used to go around role-playing came to our role-playing game club had split up because one of them was having an affair with somebody else in our role-playing game group.
Weren't that individual.
No, at which point we all decided, let's start another group and not invite any of those three people. So it might be a bit awkward.
But no, I've always wanted to get... Well, I say back, and I only had a little spell. But no, it was good fun. Really good fun. I'll quickly mention, I've been reading a bucket load of manga recently, something I would never think I would ever get back into, but I have. So there you go.
Yeah, 20th Century Boys, I've seen you've been reading.
Yeah.
And I do have an idea for an episode, well, perhaps multiple episodes about that.
Really? As long as there's no spoilers involved, because I may have to murder someone if that gets spoiled.
Oh, no. We might be spoiling for other people, but...
That's okay.
I think if we ever get desperate, we could do a volume-by-volume analysis of... 20th century books.
And there's so much you could talk about volume per volume.
Yes, I think
it's so good. So good. But yeah, that was Puguru and
a bunch of other stuff.
And you're on Twitter, I believe.
I am, yes, awesome_engine.
I am. Ant Askew, ASKEW, just in case you can't spell out there.
And we are Dynamite in the Brain on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And you can find us also on awesome-engine.com. And you can also find us on feedburner.com/dynamite-in-the-brain.
What's a feedburner thing? Sorry, I didn't remember.
That's the feed I pump through iTunes, where you can find us also. That's the one which allows me to get an idea of how many people are actually listening.
Oh, you'll have to tell me that after we've finished recording.
Who was it?
How many people.
So thank you very much for listening.
Yeah, thanks.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.